Hey, welcome to the Carol Remarks Podcast. My name is Carol, and this is where I host my remarks on glamour, pop culture, and front page news. Let's get right to it. Oh, happy day. We made it. Welcome, everyone. Okay, I want to tell you the story about my son real quick. I'll try to keep it quick because I do have other things I want to talk about. And I know I promised to bring you this story. Now, it's probably not a big deal to you, but it is to me. So I'm listening to this podcast. I've been listening to it on the way to work and on the way home. It's a Bible in a Year with Father Mike Schmidt. And he was talking about, I forgot what chapter, obviously we're talking, it was back in Genesis because we just finished Genesis. And he was talking about, why do people weep when they're happy, when something good happens? Why do people weep or cry? And he says, it's because, you know, and he gave an example. Let's say a mother is out and about with her little child in a crowded area. The child disappears, you know, for like 10 minutes or whatever. And then she's frantic. She can't find him. And finally she finds him and she hugs him and she starts crying. But it's a good thing. You know, they're reunited, but. So why does she cry? Because it's because she knows what could have been. And so I guess she's relieved and grateful and that it didn't happen, that the worst didn't happen. So I guess it's just a release that way. So now I'm not going to tell everything about my son. It's his story to tell, not mine. I'll just say that he's been through some stuff and some trouble, and but he's a lot better now. He's been better for a few years, and so I'm not going to get into the details of that. But we've had some, you know, as a mother and as a stepfather, my husband, I feel like it's been rough for us. It had been rough for us. It was worse for my son, but it was rough for us too. So, but he's better. He's better. He's on the right path now. Thank God. Praise God. So, the other day, my husband told me, he said, yeah, Tyler texted me, and he said, let me know when a good time is. I can come over with my tools and fix that gutter. And he told me that, and I broke down crying. Oh, because it was such a good thing. And I know what could have been and still could be. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, the years that we've been put through with the rough stuff with him, I always said, oh, I'll never be able to relax because, you know, addiction and all that, you know, relapses, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I thought, you know what? No, I am not going to worry because I'm going to enjoy today with him. He's doing well today, and that's what I'm going to enjoy and be grateful for. So anyway, that was my little story. I hope it made sense. So he texted my husband, and he said, let me know when a good time is for you. I'll bring my tools over, and I'll fix that gutter. Oh, my God, y'all. Oh, just saying it now just gets to me. So thank you, Lord. And thank you, Tyler, for doing the work and all that. So, yeah. All right, let's see. We're going to go on with some topics today that I have picked out that I did put out on my X file. All right, the first story I have here is how a woke Massachusetts school handled a trans student's hit list threat. So this, I've never heard about this before. I'm getting this off of the Daily Mail now. The stories that I put out today, I've gotten from the Daily Mail because they seem to be covering more transgender or chromosome deniers type things than the New York Post is lately. And so you've heard about the 13-year-old boy who identified as a girl, beat up a 12-year-old girl with a Stanley Cup, and he had a hit list, right? Well, that was in Pennsylvania. Now we have a Massachusetts school, same thing. What is going on? Leaked emails show how a woke Massachusetts school handled a trans student's hit list threat. anti-bias training and LGBTQIA plus affinity group. That was the headline. Let's see. A records request has uncovered shocking emails of how an ultra-progressive Massachusetts school dealt with a transgender student who named 40 students and a teacher on a hit list. Watertown Public Schools in the West Boston suburbs did not expel the student. Instead, officials called for empathy for the creator of the list. What? Anti-bias training and the urgent creation of an LGBTQ affinity group. Oh my word. Parents Defending Education, PDE, a conservative group, obtained school emails through a public records request this week. They show parents were alarmed by the school's lax response to the threatening situation. Yeah, I'd say so. The emails spotlight wider fears about the rising number of children who identify as trans and non-binary who face bullying, and the small but worrying number of them who turn to classroom violence. Well, you know, maybe if they would work out their mental issues with a counselor, a good counselor, and know that they would just outgrow this stuff and not take all these hormones and be, I'm being pressured into turning to this trans nonsense, then maybe we wouldn't have this problem. Casey Ryan, the PDE researcher who obtained the emails, said it was irresponsible to an alarming degree how Watertown Public Schools kept the student's gender identity hidden from the public. Parents deserve to know why their kids were targeted. Yes, they do, and potentially at risk for losing their lives. No, duh. I was going to say something else, but the district placed a higher priority on the transgender student's comfort than the safety of 40 other individuals. These people, every one of them need to be fired. Every one of them need to be fired. I mean, the list writing student has not been identified. Of course not. Email exchanges between staff and parents do not state if the student identified as male, female, non-binary, or gender non-conforming. Matthew McCarthy, a spokesman, said the school faced legal restrictions. The school is not going to comment on anything related to the identity of the student, their name, grade, or gender. Legally, we can't. That's bullshit. The emails show how, at the end of January, a teacher overheard students at Watertown Middleton School discussing who had been named on the hit list. And they did nothing except comfort the little brat, the little messed up. Oh wow, this is a long article, y'all. I'm not going to read all of it because it's super long, but I do want you to go over and read it. I noticed how the talk of transgender is kind of dying down in the media. So I'm here on my little teeny tiny podcast to talk about it and to bring you the news. So I noticed how the New York Post doesn't really write about that much anymore. That's why I was glad to go over here to the Daily Mail and find some stuff. All right, the trans high school athlete addresses hearing on banning trans girls. I'm not going to read this whole thing to you. It is that on my X file, but I did want to read the headline. Well, transgender high school athlete addresses hearing on banning trans girls from competing in sports after destroying high jump rivals. Okay, first of all, we're not banning trans girls. We're banning boys playing with the girls or against the girls. A transgender high school athlete, a boy, addresses a New Hampshire state hearing on banning trans girls, boys, from competing. A new bill in the state known as SB 375 was being pored over on Monday by legislators, LGBTQ groups, and educators before the State Education Committee. Okay, I want you to go read that too. So, this is disgraceful. It's kind of a long story as well. I will finish that story myself and maybe even blog about it. So the last one is transgender Louisianians lost their ally in the governor's seat. Good. Good. This one I'm not going to read. I'm not going to get too much into it. Transgender Louisianans lost their ally in the governor's seat. Now they're girding for a fight. I'll read the first paragraph and then I'll be done. Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. As transgender people in Louisiana watch surrounding states in the deeply conservative South implement a slew of laws targeting nearly every facet of their lives in recent years, they counted on their ally in the governor's office to keep their home a relative oasis. But, you know, that governor lost the seat, and now there's a conservative governor. And, yeah, so that story is out there on my X-File. And that's all I'm going to do for now because I'm already at 11 minutes. So, the question of the day. Okay, here it is. Name a product from back in the day that we don't have anymore that you would like to bring back. Now, I would like to bring back, now, it's not really a, I guess it's a product, but it's not like a, I don't know, it's not like a toy or anything. But I would like to bring back the franchise Orange Julius. Do you remember those? I don't think they're not around anymore. I remember going to the mall and going to the Orange Julius. That was like the thing to do when I was a kid. And I loved an Orange Julius. I would love to bring those back. Why not? I don't even know who owned them. I'm going to do some research on that. Figure out what happened to, who owned them, what happened to them, why they went away. So what product from your childhood would you like to bring back in today's world? All right, that's it for me. Thanks for listening, and go check out the other podcast in the Give Me Liberty Media network with Adrian Slade and Fake Tyler Morgan and Brutally Honest with John. Go check them out. Go check out the website, givemelibertymedia.com, because we are going to write over there too. I know Fake Tyler Morgan has something out there already. And yeah, so there it is. Thanks for listening. My name is Carol, and these are my remarks.
What's that? Who pays your salary? What's that? Who pays? What's that?
We're not a democracy!